Praise the Lord.
I want the topic of my message. This is very unusual. I'll start first before I tell you the topic, but I'm going to tell you now. Is the immutability of God's promise. Amen. Immutability sounds like big, but not really big. We are talking about the unchangeability. The fact that the word of the promise of God does not change. Amen. The immutability of God's promises. Now, you see, the Bible says God has given us the Holy Spirit. And one of the benefits or the advantage of the Holy Spirit is for us to know things that are really given unto us of God. Amen. So, you see, as believers, we have the grace and the ability to know the mind of God concerning our lives, concerning our situation. Amen. So, you see, the Holy Spirit that we have is not just for us to speak in tongues. There's so much more to the Holy Spirit in our lives than just speaking in tongues. If you are at the level of just speaking in tongues, then you have not really gotten the Holy Spirit. Or, let me put it this way, you have not maximized his indwelling presence in your life. His presence in your life. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. He said, as it's 12 or 21, he said, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit of God that we may know things that are freely given to us. And things that are given to us are contained in the word of God. Praise God. It is for us as children of God to look into the Bible and find out what is the purpose of God for my life? What is the purpose of God for my existence? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm speaking to us this morning on the immutability, the unchangeability of God's promise. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Say, God is not a man. I just want to lay foundation for what I'm about to share with us. Numbers 23, verse 19, say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said something, as I now bring it to pass. Now, you see, many of us, because of our relationship and the interactions with one another, we lie to one another, we cheat one another, we give fake and empty promises to one another. And because of that, we have brought that into our relationship with God. But ladies and gentlemen, God is not a man. And don't ever see God as a man. In your dealings with your friend or whoever, don't bring it to your dealings relationship with God, as it affects God. God is not a man. And Pastor told us, I think last week, last Bible study, several abilities of God that we know. But we know one thing that God cannot do, and that is the fact that God cannot lie. Praise the Lord. The Bible said the strength of Israel will not lie. Not that he cannot lie. He lacks the ability to lie. So if God has given us promises, they are yes and they are amen. Amen. God will not give us a promise that he cannot perform. Amen. So, don't ever see God or judge God or assess God the way you assess your fellow human being. God is not a man. Expressly in the scriptures, underlined in the scripture, God is not a man. God is not like us. Praise the Lord. So, we have to know that. It will help us, if you get that, if it helps you, as I begin to share my message with us, actually God's message to us, it will help you to really understand what I'm out here about the promises of God that are immutable. Praise the Lord. Now, I have three initial thoughts from this Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Number one, like I said, God is not a man, and we have to know that in our relationship with him, we have to believe it. And we have to relate with God as God. How do you see God? Do you see God as God? Or do you see him as D-O-G? You have to see God as God. And God severally in the scripture describe himself or reveal himself to us as the Almighty God, the possibility personality, the one who is able to do all things. Praise God. So you have to see God as such. You see, your understanding of God will help you in your relationship with him. When you know God and you understand him, it will help you. So when you are holding on to the promise of God, you know what you are holding on to. Praise God. That's number one thought. The second one is that God, you see, there is this erroneous statement, like Pastor, something where what will be, like Pastor said something last Tuesday. No, I'm not. Like what God cannot do does not exist, and all these things that people will say. Now, there is this other one that people say, man proposes, God disposes. That is not in line with the spirit of the scripture. It is God that proposes and man disposes. Amen. Proposition is from God. Disposition is from man. It's not man that proposes. You will see, as I begin to go on in the scripture, that it's actually God that proposes to us, even his promises. But his promises coming to realization in our lives depends on us, our attitude, or the way we relate with God will determine whether the promise that he has given you will come to pass or not. It is not of God. So, saying man proposes, God proposes, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God said in his word, he said, I know the thought. That's God proposing to you. He said, I know the thought that I think towards you. That's God proposing. He said, they are thought of good, not of evil. He said, to give you a future and a hope. That is the proposition of God. Now, this coming to pass in your life depends on the way you now relate with it, your attitude to it. God said, I will bless you. That's God's proposition. I am the Lord that healed you. That's God's proposition. But it is your attitude and the way it relates with God that will determine how the word of God will be effectual in your lives. Then the third thought, God does not vary. Amen. God, James chapter 1 verse 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from heaven, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not vary. God does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi, I am the Lord that changeth not. That is God. It does not vary. God will not say something today and come back tomorrow and will tell you that, I'm sorry, when I was saying it, I was sleeping. God will not say that. Amen. It does not vary. You see, in every season, it is the same. Situations, circumstances do not change God and his promises. God is unchangeable, so also his promises. Amen. Season does not change God. Your situation will not change God. Your circumstance will not change God. God will always be God. Amen. Nigeria's situation will not change God. If God has said he will bless you, don't say that, maybe if I go to America. No. Don't say he's talking to so and so. Your situation, your circumstance does not change. You see, our experiences in life does not validate or invalidate the authenticity of God's word. Say you understand that. Hope you get it. You don't get it. Praise God. I want to talk like my pastor. Sorry, you know, at times people call me out saying that it's true, that, you know, I've already said that at home. So I don't want to create fear for myself and still be saying it here. That's why I would not like to say that the food, the shoe is oversized or whatever, whatever. Thank God for all that. I've received grace in my closet at home to come here and speak to you. So you see, your experiences in life or circumstances that you are going through does not invalidate the authenticity of the promise of God. And even does not validate it. Forever, O Lord. Amen. The promises of God, they are settled. So it's our attitude. It's our the way we respond to these promises that we determine. Is God is not, I let me tell you, God said in his word. He said, that is, God does not respect person. God is not a respecter. It's not the respect of person. Anybody, if you respond to God's promises in a positive way, it will come to pass. Amen. God is not, whether a boy or a girl, adult or whoever, God is not a respecter of anyone. Praise God. So God does not vary. I've quoted some scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, he said, I watches over my word. He said, I hasten my word to perform it. That is God for you. It does not vary. His word, you see, when you are holding on to God's promise, you are holding on to God himself. Amen. God and his promise, you cannot separate them. And so when you are holding on to God or you are holding on to the promise of God, you are holding on to God himself. Praise God. So I just said all that to say this. So let me now go into the main message. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. I have other texts in Romans chapter 4, but I don't want to stress us reading scriptures, but you do well to write it down. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. It said, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That is, be not slothful, but be followers of them, be imitators of them, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God, for when God made, this is the proposition. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So for men, verily swear by the greater and oath, for confirmation is told to them, the head of all strife, wearing God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath, that by two immutable things, his promise and his oath. Two immutable things, but we are looking at the promise. By two immutable, unchangeable things, the promise of God and the oath. He said, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, we who have fled forever to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Now, he said, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We are laying under foundation. God cannot lie. He said, by two immutable things, his promise and his oath, he cannot lie. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. You can go and read that at home. Look at that, that don't take time. Now, you see, God called Abraham out. God proposed to Abraham. You can read the Genesis 17. You can go home and read it. If I want to do all that, that would be Bible study. And then it will take a lot. So it's this just short message. You can read the story of Abraham in Genesis, how God called him out of his people, and God said, okay, I'm going to show you a land. I will take to this land, and then your children will inherit this land. He said, I will bless everyone that blessed you. I will call everybody that blessed you will be blessed. I said, I will multiply you greatly upon the land, and all that, and all that. God proposes to him. Those are the promises of God to Abraham. Those are the things that God, he said, your seed. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. Those are the promises of God to Abraham. I want to see, several years, God told Abraham at the age of 75 that your wife, Sarah, will conceive and bear a son. Because God had already said, I will make of thee a great nation. And you know, down through the line, see, a lot of things set in. There is this, hey guy, some of us, what we have is not Isaac, it's Hagar, it's Ishmael. Because what God promised Abraham was Isaac. And then because of, you know, the tarried, and then you, let's find a way of doing it, and all that, and all that. You have not gotten Isaac. You might have testimony to share where you do some things, but that might not be the intention of God for your life. That might not be the real purpose of God for your life. Praise the Lord. Now, let me, because of time, quickly run the message. Now, Abraham believed God. Abraham walked with God. And we all know the end of the story. His wife conceived and gave birth to Isaac. But I want to share three or four points from the passage that we have read so that we can relate to it and our lives can be blessed too. And so we can now hold on to the promise of God and be strengthened to hold on to it until God performs. God will not change. He will not repent and say, No, God will not change. That which he has promised you, you stay on it. You should do what? Stay on it. Abraham stayed on the promise of God for 25 years. Let me say this to you, point number one. Faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith, when you don't know the will of God for your life, you cannot have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things that you hope for. The foundation of faith is hope. It's the will of God for your life that you can now say, some of us will say, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God. For what? That's the question we're going to ask you. What are you trusting God for? What are you believing God for? You know, this Christian thing, God says things, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God. What are you believing God for? What are you trusting God for? We should answer ourselves. It must be clear. You have to define it. You have to locate it in the scripture. What you are really believing God for. What you are really trusting God for. That is the foundation of faith. That is where faith begins, from the will of God that you know for your life. Praise the Lord. Faith begins when the will of God is known. When you don't know the will of God for your life concerning a situation, you cannot have faith. Do you agree with me? Well, that's the scripture. Praise God. The will of God for Abraham was expressed. I will make of thee a great nation, your seed, of your seed, a great nation. I will bless thee and I will multiply thee. Those are the will of God for his life. And those are the foundation. And the Bible said, and Abraham believed God. What does he believe in God for? For what God has said. Amen. So if you are not true, if you don't have foundation, if you don't have the will of God, if you don't have things that you are trusting God for, and you are just saying, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, God, praise the Lord. Unto your seed will I give this land. That's the will of God. This is the will of God. And for us, as children of God, like I said, we must find out. You see, many of us Christians, we don't read our Bible again. I remember those days when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, reading Bible. I could see phone, could see a car. We would get concordance, we'll get Matthew Henry, we'll get digs, we'll get this, we'll get that, we'll get translations, and we'll go and lock ourselves up in a room and be reading Bible. What, am I going to be a preacher? No, I'm just reading my Bible to know more of God. But many of you, you just stay on your phone, you don't do such again. Praise God. And we have to develop ourselves. You have to develop your capacity to be able to respond to the things of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. You build up yourself. Say, but you beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Pray the Holy Ghost. You lock up yourself in a room and you pray. Faith will come. You pray on the will of God. Is the I'm coming to all that. The will of God to heal you. The will of God for you to have a child. Lock yourself up and pray. God will not change. God has promised you, he will bring it to pass. And you're talking about it, but God has not spoken to me. God said in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who has sundry times and in diverse manner spoke to the fathers and prophets, but in this last day, he's speaking to us by his son, by the word of God, he's speaking to us. So don't expect something that you hear, my son, my daughter, it is my way for you to be fruitful. He has already declared it. God is not going to say any new thing outside this Bible. There is no new revelation that will come to us again. Every revelation has been revealed. Can I have an amen? Every revelation has been revealed in the scripture. I just come from the mountain. I've received new revelation. Let's look at it. Let's check it from the Bible. Let's check it from the word of God. Praise the Lord. Faith begins when the will of God is known. Now, you see, Abraham, I don't want to present Abraham as a perfect person in that sense. In his believing God, the Bible said that in Romans chapter 4, he staggered. He said he was weak in faith. You see, trusting God does not mean that it will just be trust. At times, some of us do. Exceeding great and precious promises. Some of them look like they can never be true. Some of the promises in the scriptures, they look like they can never be true. But let God be true, and every man be a liar. Or every word of God is true. It has been tried. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, the second point is this. Against hope, believe in hope. Against hope, just like Abraham. That's Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. Let me explain that. We have natural evidences. Just like our teacher was trying to teach us today. Natural evidences. Now, some of us say, because I'm so age, therefore, I cannot give birth again. Therefore, I cannot... You see, you are the one that yes, you are the one that is placing yourself under that situation, though. Because I'm so huge, therefore this cannot happen to me again. I cannot get married again. I cannot be fruitful again. You are the one that is saying it. Though. As far as God is concerned, your situation does not define the efficacy of God's word. Praise God. That was because I'm not educated, therefore I cannot. Because I was not born in America. I cannot, you just place yourself under difficult circumstance for God to bless you by the way you think. Natural evidences, yes. Abraham, the Bible says, his wife, he has passed age of delivery. She was menopause. Even the man was weak. A man of over 75 years. But you see, because they had the promise of God, he was strong in faith. Against natural evidences, believe in the supernatural evidences. Praise God. Against natural hope, believe in supernatural hope. And that is our calling as children of God, to believe in the supernatural hope. God, thank God we are talking about miracles. God of the supernaturals. For somebody to walk on water, a miracle learning, great miracle. Just like Pastor Prince was telling us today, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. For somebody now to ask 5,000 people, excluding men and children and women, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, and people have written, I'm going to the Lolembe. I'm going to let's pack some and then for my children and then for tomorrow. You know, people live, people think as if God cannot provide the rent the next day. So they pack everything and say to tomorrow and next tomorrow. You know, and after all that, they still had 5 baskets. That's a miracle. Against natural evidences of your life, believe in the supernatural evidences. They that observe blind vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Believe in the supernatural evidences. Contrary things, there are some things that are contrary to us, that are against us. But the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, that is shed on the ground, has washed us. So we have the capacity to believe God for the supernatural. Against the natural evidences, we can believe for God for the supernatural in our lives. So if you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and doctor, thank God, doctor has said, because of this, I've heard of people that without womb, doctors told them that they can never conceive, and they conceived. God of miracle provided another womb. Or, I don't know how it happened, but God did it. Because, you see, all these natural evidences could go by the scripture and cannot stop God from bringing his word or his promise to pass in your life. You can still be blessed. Amen. You can still be fruitful. Amen. You can be healed. That's what they have told you. You see, doctor said, this disease is incurable. Therefore, I don't need to trust God for healing. Because God has said. What of what God has said concerning you? You can trust God for his word. Amen. You can believe, you can hold on to God for his word. And surely, like I said, he watches over his word to perform them. Now, you see, the promise of God has contained the scriptures. Some of us, the reason why we believe more in the natural than the supernatural is because some of us, we are so lazy. I'm very sorry to say this. We don't read our Bible. Many of us, many Christians these days, they don't read their Bible. Amy, S will have the Christian. So, or a daily guide. You know, I'm a daily guide. Lady Power Hour. You see, there are some things that you just have to do. Religiously, you have to do them. Praise God. Now, John chapter 5, verse 59. Search the scriptures. Jesus Christ said to you, he said, search the scriptures. Go and look at the scriptures. Search it. It is our responsibility as believers to search out. The Bible said in Job chapter 29, verse 16, it said, the cause which I knew not, I searched out. If you don't know something, you don't have to say the level of I don't know. You can search it out. You can look at the word of God and bring it and search it out. The cause that I know not, I searched out. Bro, Elijah said something in passing on Tuesday. Daniel said something. He said, I understood by books. He said, I understood by books, by reading books. He was reading the book of prophet Jeremiah. Had a prayer prophesied that 70 years, they will use 70 years in captivity. And now say, I understood. If he didn't read any book, they will be in captivity. But say, I understood by books because I read books, because I studied books, because I studied because I knew not, I studied them out. I was able to understand that the time of the captivity has expired. You don't have to stay in that level. Find time to study the word of God. Find time. Don't depend on what we tell you on pulpit alone. Or what your counselor will tell you. Open your Bible yourself. Read the Bible yourself. Search out the promise of God for your life yourself. That's New Testament Christianity. You know, some of us, we are not yet delivered from this occultic practice of our fathers. That's why people would rather pay somebody to pray for them. You know, like they are consulting an oracle. You know, our fathers will go to Babalawo Ifa and something, and go and pay. That Ifa will tell them something. That is the religion that some of us are still practicing today. You go to somebody in Mountain, one Baba will stay in Mountain, and then you go and give me word, do allow me. So do allow it all on the son of Bible. Eba me wo ojo la mi sojo la mi order bi oni da mo fe travel mo fe lo America se nlo abi won oni lo mo fe lo gba visa eba me pray. No, these are things that people prayed for and they go to mountains. I want to collect visa, I want to travel to you. What is it? Lock yourself in your room, pray to God. The cause that I know not, I search out, search them out yourself. God will speak to you about your life, about your traveling, about your future. If I already, he has already spoken, you have to search it out. That is Jeremiah chapter 9 that I quoted from, verse 11. That's God speaking to you. I know you thought that I think towards you. You see, some of us, this is what we live by. We live by the word of God, the promises of God. Amen. The cause which I knew not, I sight out. Not that somebody will sight out for me. Me, I sight it out. Paul said, I thought writing to Timothy, he said, till I come, say, give attendance. Reading. Some of us are not reading again. He said, First Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Abby, 14 or 13, he said, give attendance to reading. Second Timothy chapter 5, verse 15, he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly divided. He's not writing to pastor, he's writing to you as Christian. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. The counsel of God, the promise of God, they are immutable. But it's our responsibility as children of God. Sight out. And hold on to it. Even though it tarries, wait for it. Praise the Lord. Against hope, against natural evidences, believe in the supernatural evidences. And that is the realm of God. For there is nothing you can do. The situation of your life is not beyond God. Amen. The situation of your life is not beyond God. Amen. Let your eyes be fixed on God. Trust God to bring his word to pass in your life. Amen. Because his promises are yes and they are amen. I'm coming to that. His promises are yes and amen. You see, God speaks authoritatively. I am the Lord that healed you. That is God. You will not say that, I don't know whether I have the capacity, but just try me. Come and try me. If I heal you, fine. If I don't heal, you know, he said boldly, I am the Lord. Second Corinthians, he said, for we know verse 9, verse 8, said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That is the will of God for your life. Stay on that scripture. Pray on that scriptures. Confess that scripture. Believe it. And you see it coming to pass in your life. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. So that through God, Jesus' poverty, you might become rich. That is the scripture. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, number three, third point. I just have one left, then we close. Judge God faithful. Amen. Judge God faithful. He said in Hebrews, he said, wearing God. Willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. God himself, willing more abundantly. Look at the desperation of God here. Willing more abundantly to show you the unchangeability of his promise. He confirmed it by oath. Although we need that to confirm your oath, but to show that you can be able to hold on to his word. Judge God faithful. Like I said, how do you see God? See him as a faithful God. Hold on to him. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Romans 4:21. What he promised is also able to perform. You see, the problem that most of us have with God, we think God cannot perform. We think he's not a performer. He has promised and is also able to perform. Judge him faithful. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He said, let us hold fast to the confession, to the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. Let us hold fast. Another verse says, let us hold fast to the declaration of our belief. What do you believe in the word of God? Hold fast to it. Let us hold fast to the declaration of our belief. For he is faithful that has promised. God is a faithful God. Look at it from any dimension. He's a faithful God. Amen. And so the Bible said that we that believe God, he said we should commit the keeping of our soul unto him as unto a faithful creator. Commit the keeping of your life unto God. We tell people, if you don't go to Mante, how are we going to know? Because this church, the pastor will not sit there and be telling us, if not prophesying to us and tell you that, don't go to Lagos. Don't, people need people that will tell you, get their lives. I'll be telling them that don't go and go, don't talk to your wife when you get home. Don't eat amala. When you get all these things, I mean, people, trivial things. This man of God, well, I don't know if he's a man of God, this prophet, he's always prophesying about the political situation. He will come, you say somebody will not win 2007. You say somebody will not win 2023, he won. You say somebody will not win, he won. And you are still telling him again that somebody will not win 2007. You want us to believe you, and you want us to believe that God is speaking through you. Judge God faithful. In your walk with the Lord, in your holding on to his promises, judge him faithful. He that has promised is also able to perform. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. He said, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Amen. I will say to you this morning, whatever challenges, whatever situation you are going through, faithful is he that calleth you. He will do it. Amen. Judge him faithful. Amen. Judge him faithful. You see, we have to get to a point in our life, like Abraham got to that point. He said, being fully persuaded. You know why many of us, we still go to all these people and all that, why we still don't read the Bible? He said, we are not persuaded about God yet. He said, being persuaded that he who has promised is also able to perform. Be fully persuaded. I listened to prayer when Bishop Oyedepo, when he recently marked his 70th birthday, and he shared some testimony. The man has been saying it, I can never be poor. He has been, when he had nothing, he had been saying it, I can never be poor. And look at that man now. They that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. He said, man said, I can never be poor. When he got married, he told his wife, we can never be poor. You have to be fully persuaded about God. He's a faithful God. We can commit the keeping of our life unto him. Praise God. You have to get to that point in your life that you are fully persuaded. Just like Abraham was fully persuaded. Well, your situation has come to be seamless otherwise, but you have to. You see, when Abraham was trusting God, it was not easy. But because God has said, and he believed God. Let's open our Bible to Genesis chapter 21. Before I take the last point, Genesis 21, just one verse, verse 1. I hope it's Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1. Praise God. Genesis 21. Now, see. And this will be your testimony in Jesus' name. The Bible says, the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, it got to a point in their life that they said, as God has said, God has done it. When you hold on to the promise of God, that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. He said, and the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. God said, according to the time of life. Oh God. There's a time of life for every one of us. And God told Sarah, according to the time of life, your might be 1 month. Sarah's own was 9 months. Your own might be 2 months. It might be 2 years. But according to the time of life, God visited her as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. No word of God, no spoken word of God is void of power of fulfillment. Amen. So that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. The Lord will visit you. He will perform his counsel in your life. I want to urge you to hold on to the promise of God. Don't give up. Hold on to it. And the Lord will surely bring his word to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. Holding on to the promise of God is holding on to God himself. Amen. You cannot separate my word from my personality, you know. I will give you an example. Now you see, if I stand here this morning and I can tell you that next week I will take you to United States of America. And Pastor Missy said, I will take you to America. Who among God would you believe? Me that I've never left Ibadan. She has just returned from America. Who will you believe? My words to you is empty. Because this man, as I'm looking at this man, oh, this is Ibadan man that has never gone out of Ibadan. And this man has just arrived from America. Let me. You see, the authenticity of every promise is predicated on the personality that is giving it. Amen. The authenticity, the genuineness of every promise. If I tell you now that Shegu, you have the line for 2 million. Ki Dangote, because of 2 million, who will you believe? Why, we are giving the same word though. I will give you 2 million. I said it. Dangote said, I will give you 2 million. If you owe my media, okay. Prophet me, let me Dangote. Because you know you assess me. Why don't you assess God? Praise God. Why don't you assess God? Yeah, Pastor Miss was telling us that he reminded us anyway that one of the miraculous that Jesus, God did was the parting of the Red Sea. And even when the Egyptians, they said, Onalolai, God said, they are close again. That is the God that has promised you. Praise God. Assess God. The authenticity of every promise is predicated on the personality that is giving it. Look at God. Look at the CV of God, things that he has done. And locate your own in those things that he has done. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Finally, Jesus, the last point, Jesus is at the center of it all. Amen. All the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. I want to underline that in your screen. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus. All God put together all his promises and put it in Jesus. All the promises of God. That's why, thank God, Pastor is teaching us in the name of Jesus. All the promises of God. God put everything together and put it in Jesus. He's at the center of it all. Can I have an amen? He's at the center of it all. That is why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because the promises are in him. The Bible says all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes, and they are in him, and amen, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. So, you see, the reason why God will fulfill his promise in your life is because of Jesus in your life. For your life is hid in God. For your life is hid in Christ, and Christ in God. And all the promises, they are in Christ. And your life is in Christ. So all things are yours. Amen. All things are yours. Believe God. That's the essence of our faith. We are believers. They call us, when Christianity came into this, they call them Onigbagbo, people of faith. Because our early fathers, though they didn't go to school, but they just take the word of God. He said, I can raise the dead. Oh yeah? Where is the dead? In the name of Jesus, rise. And he rise. Raw miracle. Babalola, or no, Babalola of those days. All the promise, all things are yours, believers. And I want to appreciate God for that. That he will not hold back anything from you. He said, how many of you fathers, if you your son to come to you and ask for bread, will you give them stone? If they ask for fish, will they give them scorpion? Or if they ask for egg, will they give them snake? If you fathers, earthly fathers, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will not give good things to them that ask. The problem is that we need to ask. Ask God. Talk to God about it. No situation is beyond God. All the promises of God, they are in Christ Jesus. And I tell you something, God will not hold back anything from us. That's why Jesus is the guarantee that the promise will not fail and it will not change. Amen. Jesus is the guarantee that the promise will not fail and the promise will not change. Jesus will stand there. It's not by his blood. The promises will not change and it will not fail. Hold on to God. We serve a God God is kind, God is love, God is merciful, His mercy endures forever and all that. I like those attributes of God. He's a loving Father. He's a caring Father. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Trust God with all your heart. Lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Amen. Let me say this to you by the word of the Lord. Things will get better for you. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will perfect His purpose in your life. The Lord will fulfill His promises in your life. Praise the Lord. Jesus is at the center of it all. Jesus is at the center of it all. And I want to... Is there anyone here that you said, you are almost giving up on God? Even things that God has said to you, well, the promise is not coming to pass. I better leave that one. But the first time you received it, you know it's of God. I want to charge you this morning. Bring it back. Amen. Bring it back. Hold on to God. Oh God, hold on to that promise. God will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Now the second set of people that I want to speak to. If you are here and you are not born again, The first promise of God to you is the promise of salvation. Amen. The first promise that you have to respond to. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation as you appear unto all men, that grace is appearing to you this morning. So if you are not born again, or if you have any doubt in your heart, I'm not really sure who this born again thing that they are talking about. Me, I'm just coming to church, and I know that praise God. Praise the Lord. Being born again, we have to tell you that. Even somebody that is preaching might not be saved. So we are choir, if you have any doubts, I won't call anybody out. I will just ask us to bow down our heads and set it up with God. That's the promise. And if you need counsel, because you see, let me tell you something. What is stopping you? Why devil is robbing you of the purpose and the promise of God is because you are not saved. That's one aspect. So for people that are saved, it's because they are lazy. They cannot read the Bible. Because that I know not, they cannot search it out. But for you, your own is because you are not saved. That's why you don't have find fulfillment in life. That's why you do some things to, if you are not, you have to consciously and deliberately, there must be a time in your life that you can say, I consciously give my life. Not that, I think that, don't do that, I think I gave my life. Don't think it, oh. You have to be sure that you are saved. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Hallelujah. I want us to settle that with God. And if you are a believer, I want to talk to God on the basis of the message that you have listened to this morning. Renew your trust and confidence in God. Renew it. I forever trust you for your word, for your promises, because I know they are yes and they are amen. All the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen. So I forever trust you. I'm not going to give up on the promises that you are giving to me. I hold on to you, and I trust that you bring them purpose in my life. You can pick them back again. Trust God.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Oh, Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
I believe in,
in God.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Oh, Jesus, the Son of God.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Oh,
I believe in you. I believe in you.
I believe in Jesus. I
I believe,
yes, Lord.